Yep. Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for that love you had for us. Lord, you didn't only send your Son to die, to give us forgiveness for sins, but also to give us life and life more abundantly, that we might come to know you and to know your love and to live and to share your love with others. So I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I spoke about the limitless yet limited power of God being love. If you say it often enough, you get used to it. We have the worldly saying, love conquers all, and let's not forget the rest of it. Let us all yield to love. And Jesus said in three of the Gospels that we fulfill all the commandments by loving God and others as ourselves. In Matthew chapter 22, 36 to 40, Mark 12, 28 to 34, and Luke 10, 25 to 28, you'll find the scriptures with those references. And Paul also reinforces this in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, which I will read. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Do you notice it said the continuing debt to love one another? That debt is not one we owe to each other. That is a debt that we owe to God because of God's love for us, that he sent his Son to die. So it's a debt we can never pay. It's a debt we shouldn't try to pay. We should love one another because he loved us, and we ought to honor him by doing so. Verse 9, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And we all know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the love chapter. And John's letters speak mostly about love. In 1 John 4:8, whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And there are plenty of other scriptures about love and how we should love. But my question today is, what is love? Or how do we live and walk in love? Most of us drive a car, and even those of us who don't know that the car needs fuel to make it go. And even those of us who are more knowledgeable about the cars rarely think about the fuel or what it takes to power the car and to keep it at its full potential. We just get in and drive. And over the years, especially when I used to start work early in the morning, I've had a battery in my car that would need replacing pretty soon. Sometimes it would start and sometimes it wouldn't. And when I would get in the car and turn the key, I would be hoping that it would start. And too often we do the same with our spiritual power source, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the sacrifice of Jesus. But when we turn that key, our prayers, or even our putting our faith into works, more often than not, we are hoping that that power source will be sufficient to produce the results that we desire rather than know it. 1 John 4:8 states, God is love. Jesus states that the Father and he are one. Therefore, Jesus is love. In John chapter 14, verses 7 to 11, Jesus was talking about the Father's love, and himself and his disciples didn't understand it until after they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the reality of it came, and it's been given to us in the scriptures. In John chapter 14, verses 7 to 11, Jesus speaking, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, Rather, it is in the Father, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or believe at least on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus acknowledged that it wasn't him doing it. It was the Father in him that was doing it. It wasn't the man Jesus. It was the Father through the Holy Spirit, through the love of God that empowered Jesus to do what he did. Now it's up to us to study the scriptures and learn about God's love and how he wants us to apply it to our lives. So what is love? Well, firstly, love is not an emotion. We have an emotion we describe as love. We also have other emotions like joy, anger, anxiety, fear, etc. These and other emotions have been given to us to help us function in the natural. Even animals have most. And most of us would say that we do want his love. But Jesus says otherwise to the Laodicean church in Revelations. Revelations 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Jesus is standing at the doors or the hearts of many Christians and asking me to invite it in. He is saying that if we want to share in his love, we have to let him in. The choice is ours. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you feel the test. We're to test ourselves, not others. Paul says to test ourselves and see if we are in the faith or not. The faith spoken of is in faith in the finished works of Jesus at the cross. If we believe and accept that Jesus paid the price for our sins, then the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come to live in us. And since the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God, and God is love, the love of God should be in us. Unless, when we examine ourselves, we find the love of God is not living us, and we fail the test. So how do we test ourselves? Again, Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So one of the ways that we can determine how much of the presence of God or love of God's in our lives is by comparing what we say or do with what's in our hearts. I can say, I love you, brother or sister, but if I go complaining or criticizing to others, what is coming out of my heart? Love or selfishness? I can say, I forgive you, but if I keep telling everybody else how you wronged me, what is coming out of my heart? Love or selfishness? I can say, great message, pastor or teacher, but if I tell everyone else how much I dislike it, or singing praise and worshiping God in church, but cursing and swearing everywhere else, how much or what is coming out of my heart, the love of God or selfishness? Again, from the New Living Translation, Romans 5:5, this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loved us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, there is a big difference between being filled and being full. And my example, Kathy's trying to do me here. It is. I better take it off, that'll be easiest. I have a jar full of marbles, but if I pour the liquid into it, and I ain't going to go any further than that, The jar is now full, but the marbles represent things in our heart. The liquid represents the Holy Spirit. So although the jar is now full, our hearts are still full, but the marbles represent the things. The things don't have to be bad. They can be good works, but things that we put before God. And we're going to have to remove them before we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God. Unfortunately, we're all natural hoarders. Some worse than others, some less than others. The natural hoarding can be used as an example of what is in our hearts. You may have seen TV programs or know someone whose house is so full of stuff that it's nearly impossible to get into the house. These people are still able to leave the house to get more or to get what they need. But their house is so full of stuff that no one can come in to visit them. These are like the people who accept Jesus as their Savior, but don't want to make room for Him in their hearts. There are others who have more space in their houses to allow for visitors. And when I was doing this, I thought when I first come to Australia, the people I worked for took me to visit family on a property out at Narrabri. We were made welcome. And when they took us in, the place was cluttered full of stuff. Everywhere that you could see, nearly everywhere, was old stacks of old newspapers or magazines. And when it come to giving us a seat, they had to move stacks of papers so that we could sit down. And the only clear place was a stove, so they put them all on the stove. And then after a while, they asked if we'd like a cup of tea, which we did. So they had to go move the stacks off the stove. And I don't remember where they put them. What I do remember is they didn't throw them out. Now, these are like the people who accept Jesus into their hearts, but they just want Him to visit and not to stay. They move stuff around to accommodate His visit, but they never get rid of anything so that He can stay. And for the majority of people, their hoarding is not so evident. They present to their visitors a tidy and uncluttered house. But I'm willing to bet there's not one who doesn't have something hidden away in a cupboard, in a wardrobe, or a shed. Things that they will never use again, but they're not going to get rid of. They are like the people who want Jesus in their lives, who want Jesus in their hearts, but don't want to give Jesus access to all parts of their hearts. There are some things they don't want Jesus to know about. In case He tells them, they have to get rid of them. In the natural, it isn't how much we hoard is a problem. Although the more we hoard, the greater the problem becomes. The problem is our desire, or in some cases, obsession, with holding on to things that we don't need. With the obsessive, you can help them get rid of everything that is no benefit to them, but it won't be long before the house is stacked full of useless stuff again. But there is little difference between those who hoard less and those who hoard more. A statement in the building trade was that no matter how many cupboards you put in a kitchen, they will soon all be filled. And it's the same with our sheds and everything else. The problem is not in the cupboard or in our houses or sheds. It's what's in our hearts and minds. What we see is only a manifestation of what we can't see. To be willing to stop hoarding, we would have to have a change of how we think. It is the same in the spiritual. What is seen or heard in the natural is only a manifestation of what's in our hearts and minds. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And I will add the words, and love. In some instances, we can control what's in our hearts and minds. Well, we can't change or remove it. We need the Holy Spirit's help for this to happen. But we have to make the decision to allow the Holy Spirit not only to help us get rid of the useless or harmful things that we have been holding on to, But we have got to allow him to fill those spaces with the love of God or a greater presence of God in our lives. If we don't, it won't be long before we fill the spaces with something else. In this lifetime, we will never be full of the love of God, but we can always, always be filled with more of his love. The more willing we are to allow his love to fill us, the more he will demonstrate his love through us, because the power of God is the love of God. And from both of today's scripture readings, both Old and New Testament, we can see that when the sailors' lives, when they thought they were about to lose their lives, they got rid of everything that they had held on to before. All of a sudden, what was important was staying alive. Because we have eternal life, shouldn't we be more willing to get rid of the things that may stop us having life, life more abundantly, and sharing that life and love with others that they may be saved? If the power of God is love, and it is, and if we want God to use us more for his glory, then we should make more room for the love of God in our hearts so that there will be more to share with others. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love expressed to us through the sacrifice of your Son. But Lord, I thank you for your ongoing expression of love, how you bear with us, Lord, in our weaknesses and desire to give more of you to us. So Lord, I would ask that you would help us get rid of what you don't want in our lives and let us have more of you to share with others. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.